The FBI in Peace and War. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Smoke Ring.
United States Attorney's Office, Miss Davis speaking.
Hello, I'd like to speak with Mr. Taylor, please. This is Agent Stevens over at the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Oh, Mr. Stevens, just a minute, please. Mr. Taylor.
Yes?
Agent Stevens on the line. Will you talk with him?
Stevens? Of course I will.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Hello, Steve. What can I do for you?
Not a thing for the moment. This call's on us.
Okay, I'm listening.
We just picked up a stolen car in Ohio, Bruce. It was being driven by a character we've been after named Miguel Trevia. In the back of the car, we found some 400 unstamped boxes of cigars.
Cigars?
Unstamped. I thought your revenue boys might be interested.
Might is putting it mildly.
Okay, we're holding Trevia over here.
Good, we'll be over in 10 minutes.
During the early part of this year, a ring dealing in tobacco was defrauding the government of a sum in taxes which was subsequently determined to be over $1 million. This was accomplished through deliberate failure of the manufacturer to put revenue stamps on his cigar boxes while selling them to under-the-counter buyers. Our attention was brought to the evasion when a fugitive wanted by the Bureau was apprehended with a number of the unstamped boxes in his possession. The questioning of this man brought out an unexpected tangent development which plunged us directly into the case.
Hello?
Carlos, this is me. I'm calling from you know where.
Well, go ahead.
Pick me up in the car right away. You and me are driving east.
Anything wrong?
Enough. The feds picked up Miguel with a carload of smokes. We're checking out of the area, setting up new outlets. Carlos?
Yeah?
There it is over there.
Where?
Store next to the corner. La Perfecta.
Oh, yeah. You're sure you won't come with me, Benny?
No, I'll wait in the car.
Okay, if you think I can swing it alone...
You can swing it. Just say what I told you.
Okay.
Don't be too long.
I won't.
Only say what I told you. The rest will be gravy.
Okay.
Oh, yes, sir. Can I help you?
Maybe. I'm looking for the proprietor.
Oh, that's me.
Huh?
Mr. Ben Udell. At your service.
Oh. Well, they told me a lady...
I know. You mean my mother. Everybody does. She's in the back. I'll call her.
No, no. That's okay. I'll find her.
Oh, right through that door there.
Thank you.
And the same candy order as last time. That's right. No, I guess that's all this week, Mr. Rowland. Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Your boy out front said you're the one who runs this place, Mrs. Udell, right?
That's right.
Well, my name is Carlos, Mrs. Udell. Ramon Carlos.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't help overhearing you place that order. I would like to talk to you about that.
Well, if you're a salesman, I'm sorry. I do all my buying through Mr. Woland.
But I can give you a better deal, Mrs. Udell. I got the finest merchandise to offer for the cheapest price.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carlos. I'd like to help you out.
But you couldn't do it for me, huh?
I'm sorry.
Not even for Benny?
Benny?
Not your boy, Mrs. Udell. This Benny, I mean, is a lot older.
I don't know any other Benny.
Is that so?
That's so.
Well, it has been a long time. You could have forgot. Benny said if your memory was bad,
look,
all I had
Mr.
to do
Carlos,
was...
Carlos, I'm very busy.
All I had to do was to remind you that this Benny you don't know is the same one you got hitched to back in Detroit, October 1934. Your memory any better now, Mrs. Udell?
What do you want?
Well, like I said, I got fine merchandise. I just want you to place your orders through me from now on instead of any competitors.
What kind of merchandise?
Smokes. Smokes, Mrs. Udell. Cigars. Any kind you can name.
Why come to me?
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Udell, these are real fine smokes, like I say. One thing only... Well, somebody just forgot to put those revenue stamps on the boxes.
You'd better leave, Mr. Carlos, right now.
Yeah?
Because if you don't, I'm going to pick up this phone and call the police.
Mrs. Udell, Benny said there's something else I might have to remind you about. You and him are still married.
Are you leaving or aren't you?
And not only that, you got a son, Benny's own boy. He even wears the same name.
Get out, you hear me?
You can't imagine how lonesome a father gets for his son, Mrs. Udell. His own son that he hasn't seen these last 18 years.
What?
Benny said if you turn us down, why, he just naturally want a nice little reunion with Ben Jr. Father and son, after all this time. Hey, you better put down that phone, Mrs. Udell. I don't think you'll be calling any police after all. Do you?
Memorandum from the United States Attorney to all field offices, FBI, and Revenue Bureau. Be on the lookout for unstamped tobacco shipments being distributed in this country. Recent arrests of ring members suggest new areas may be open somewhere along the eastern seaboard. All agents are warned to be especially alert, inspecting details.
Good night, Ma. You set to take over?
Oh, said Benson. Get these out of the way.
Oh, here, let me help. Are these boxes not for sale?
No. Well, it's just that they were taking up aisle space. I wanted them out of the way, that's all.
Okay. They're out of the way. You check the register yet?
I will when you're gone. Here. Let me look at you.
Yes, ma'am. Wash behind my ears and everything.
You look real nice, Ben. New suit.
Well, you said I could buy one.
I don't mean that. You never wear a new suit unless a girl's going to see it.
Okay, maybe one is. Ma'am.
Yeah?
When you check the register, if you should find a couple of 10 spots missing.
Ben, you just got your pay Saturday.
Yeah, well, sure, but you know how it is. If a guy doesn't want to look small potatoes.
Yes, I know. And if he wants to hang around nightclubs.
Oh, no, Ma.
Ben, listen to me. Now, I don't like to butt into your affairs, but showgirls aren't for you, believe me.
Ma, let's not go over all that. I'm old enough.
I know you are. I know that. But you know so many girls in the neighborhood. Now, do I object when you see them? That sweet Belden girl, for instance?
I'm going to be late, Ma. Good night.
I'm only telling you for your own good, Ben.
I know, Ma. Give a fella a kiss, huh? Now, don't you worry about me. This is one boy who knows how to take care of himself.
Ben.
Good night, Ma. Don't wait up for me.
Oh, sorry, sir. It's okay.
Customer, Ma. Good night.
Got to hand it to you, Grace. You did a fine job with him.
What?
The boy, Benny Jr. You did a fine job.
Get out of this store.
Oh, now, Gracie, that's no way to talk. After all these years, I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Get out. I mean it, Benny.
Okay, you mean it. I just came by to see how you were doing on our first delivery. Object to that, and maybe I object to custody.
To what?
Custody. Father's got rights, ain't he? Visitation.
Benny, you stay away from my son. You hear that? You stay away, or...
Or what? You'll maybe kill me?
Maybe. You stay away, Benny, or maybe I will kill you. Maybe I will.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. The majestic Hudson River, which has cut such a wide path through American fact and fiction, was apparently first discovered by Giovanni da Verrazzano, a Florentine navigator, on April 17, 1524. But the man for whom it was named, Henry Hudson, made the first conclusive exploration of the river during the months of September and October of 1609. Henry Hudson, hoping to find a waterway through North America to the East Indies, sailed his ship, the Half Moon, up the Hudson as far as present-day Troy, New York. In the 1620s, Dutch patroons had established a permanent colony, New Netherlands, along the banks of the Hudson, and New Amsterdam was spreading out from the southern tip of Manhattan Island. It was in 1664 that an English invasion force entered the deep-channeled mouth of the Hudson River and took over control of New Amsterdam from the Dutch. They renamed the city New York. Ships flying the Union Jack cruised the Hudson for more than a century, bringing furs and food supplies to cosmopolitan New York. Control of the Hudson became imperative during the colonial revolution for independence. The British attacked and captured Fort Washington and Fort Lee late in 1776, but their attempt to cut the jugular vein that united New England and the Middle Colonies was unsuccessful. Colonial independence won, peace reigned again over the river Henry Hudson once described as the Great River of the Mountains. Yes, running 306 miles from the summit of Mount Marcy in the Adirondacks to the wide-spreading harbor of New York City, the Hudson River became the lifeline of a new nation, just beginning to explore and develop its natural riches.
Hello?
Hello, Carlos. This is me. I just left the store.
Any trouble?
Talk, but no trouble. She's playing ball. Don't worry. What about the boy?
Hey, was I right? The dead image, huh?
Never mind a dead image. Did you follow him?
Oh, sure I followed him. He's having drinks at the bar of the 15 Club with Candy.
Already?
Well, you said action. And that Candy is a fast worker. Any orders meantime?
No orders, Carlos. Same routine every week. Keep the smokes coming, keep them going. That's all.
And they're still getting the cigars distributed, Steve, as you can see from that report. The revenue agents found another retailer last week with an inventory of over 100 boxes without any staff.
Uh-huh. What about that tape recording you wanted me to hear, Bruce?
It's the last talk we had with Miguel Trelia. I had an idea you'd be specially interested.
Why specially?
Well, Steve, you know that memo pad Trelia had on him at the time you boys picked him up?
Yeah.
You remember the entries were mostly initials. Obviously a record of Trelia's deliveries and receipts.
Sure, I remember.
Then maybe you remember that the entry of so-and-so many boxes from B.U. was the most frequent.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we tried an old stunt on failure. A stunt, I'll admit, I borrowed from you, Steve. It worked in that Army desertion case, so why not again?
Why not?
Anyway, we dug up all the names connected with failure's past record. One of them might have the initials B.U.
And one of them did.
Yes. Benny Udell. B.U.
Benny Udell?
I said you'd be specially interested.
I am, and on four separate counts. You mean he's the one behind all this?
Just listen to the tape, Steve. While we were questioning Trelia, one of my men rushed in and stage whispered that Benny Udell had just been picked up by the FBI and sang his head off. You listen and decide for yourself. Candy?
Yeah, Carlos.
I just come from seeing Benny.
And?
He says give Candy the green light on a boy. Get to work on it.
Waiter, two more of these cocktails, please, and some hors d'oeuvres for the lady. Sorry, Candy, you were saying?
No, nothing. I was just saying you better not come by for me tonight at the club.
Huh? Why, I thought we had a date.
We did, but I changed my mind.
But why? I thought you liked me.
I'm more than like you, that's just it.
What?
Ben, why don't you just let well enough alone? We met, we had fun together. It's better we part friends.
Well, Candy, what's the matter? What have I done?
Nothing. But you haven't done, Ben.
Huh?
Look, honey, you're a nice kid, but you're only a kid. You can't afford to keep taking me off.
Sure I can.
On that measly handout your mother gives you from the store.
Well, it isn't any fortune.
Ben, honey, I don't think you follow me. Oh, sure, you can take me out for a drink or maybe a meal, but it's just hello, how are you? How do you think this fur got on my shoulders, grew there?
Oh.
A girl's got to live, honey. There's rent to pay and stockings to buy and a bank book to fill for a rainy day. Sorry to throw the raw meat on the floor.
Oh, that's okay, I didn't think.
Of course you didn't, but a girl has to. If you were on your own, I might feel different.
On my own?
Would you like to be, Ben? Make yourself a bankroll every week instead of pennies?
Well, who wouldn't? Only...
I've got friends, honey. They let you in on a good thing if I gave the word.
Yeah, but what could I do for them?
You'd be surprised. You might do something for them right inside that store of yours.
Huh?
Honey, I wasn't going to mention this, but when I see the way your old lady's been holding out on you...
What are you talking about?
You didn't know she's been holding out? You didn't know what she's been doing to rake in extra cash?
What cash? Candy, what do you mean Ma's been holding out?
I mean just what I say. You better drink your drink, Ben. I'm afraid you're in for an awful shock.
Yes?
You're all upset. Oh, it's my fault for prying into your private life. Here, take this money and go out and have a good time.
I said I didn't want any money. Maybe you didn't understand me.
Well, of course I understand. You came across a few boxes that weren't sealed. All right, I'll call Mr. Wolin and tell him.
That's all you've got to say?
What else should I say?
I've already called Mr. Wolin. He told me you weren't buying cigars to him anymore.
Please, Ben, what are you so worked up about?
About you, that's what. About what you've been doing behind my back, about all those lies you've been telling me.
What?
You heard me, nothing but lies.
Please, Ben, tell me what you're trying to get at.
All right. All right, I'll tell you. Only when I'm through, you'd better be ready to start telling me.
Hello? Oh, yes, he is. Just a minute, I'll ask him. Benny.
Who is it?
It's Candy. She's got the kid with her. Wants to know if it's okay to bring him over.
Yeah, let me speak to her. Candy, this is me. What's the story? Oh, he did, huh? He does? What do you know, a chip of the old block? What's that? Why, sure, bring him over. He's my own flesh and blood, ain't he? You bring him right over.
Hello, this is Marvin Miller with another page from your American Heritage scrapbook. Theodore Roosevelt, rough rider, all-around sportsman, and president of the United States, waged a lifetime battle against complacency. He overcame a frail and asthmatic childhood by advocating the strenuous life. Courage, endurance, and stamina were component parts of his personal creed. It was in 1898 that T.R. resigned as Secretary of the Navy to lead Colonel Leonard Wood's Rough Riders on the charge up San Juan Hill. War-born popularity won him the governorship of New York in that same year and made him President McKinley's running mate in the election of 1900. A year later, McKinley was assassinated, and Roosevelt became president. His motto for 7 years was, "Speak softly and carry a big stick." During his second term as chief executive, he launched construction of the Panama Canal, and he also became the first president to set foot on foreign soil. In 1910, he became the first president to ride in an airplane, although by then he had been out of office for 2 years. Running for president on the Progressive Party ticket in 1912, T.R. displayed his familiar campaign vigor. At Milwaukee, a would-be assassin's bullet failed to silence his big voice and heart. With the bullet lodged in his chest, he delivered his scheduled speech. Yes, Theodore Roosevelt believed in the strenuous life, in running the risk of wearing out rather than rusting out. This he advocated for the individual, the community, and the nation.
Go on, kid, keep talking. I'm loving every minute of it.
Oh, well, that's about it. Once you get through telling me, I walked out. And here I am. She was against the idea, but I told her she'd done enough harm, and I was doing things my own way now.
Hey, you hear that, Carlos? Mm-hmm. Candy. Boy's got spunk like his old man. I was right about him, wasn't I?
Yeah, looks like.
But you won't be sorry, kid. You and me are going to hit it off great. Now on, wherever I go, you go with me. You'll see what living is really like. No more psalm singing from here in.
How's that sound, Ben?
Sounds all right, Candy.
Yeah, just like his old man. I told you, Carlos.
Ollie, I'm afraid it won't work.
Why not?
Ma won't let me go with you.
How's she going to stop you?
I thought you said you were doing things your own way now.
I am.
So, how's she going to stop you?
By going to the FBI.
The what?
That'd be a big help. They've been trying to find me for months.
Well, she was going to fix that. If I followed me and Candy, she'd find where you were, then call the FBI.
Following us?
Yeah, that was the idea. The FBI's probably outside by now. That's why I can't go.
Benny,
Shut up, Carlos. Kid, I got no enjoyment for beat around the bush. You better start talking straight.
Okay, here it is straight. Ma told me about you. All about you. And why she kept it from me all those years. When she got through telling, I told her what I thought of her. How wonderful I thought she was.
Huh?
And how I was going to see through it that a filthy scum like you never bother her again.
Lord, shut up. What else?
I said I didn't know where you were, but I knew someone who'd lead me to you. I told her to follow and then call the cops. She was against the idea, like I said, but I told her I was doing things my own way from now on. I walked out and here I am. Is that straight enough for you?
That's straight enough.
Benny, I
said shut up.
We gotta get out of town, Benny. Get out
you
fast.
You too, Candy. Close your yap. I was wrong about you, kid. For a while there, I thought I saw a lot of me in you. I was dead wrong. You haven't got nothing of me. Nothing at all. Candy, answer it.
Hello?
Listen carefully. This is a federal officer speaking. I'm directing everyone in that room to surrender. Open the door and walk out with your hands up. You have exactly 60 seconds to come out. After that, we're coming in.
Well?
That was the cop. They're waiting outside the door for us.
Okay. We fix that.
Fanny, don't be a fool. What chance do we got?
Fanny, put the gun down.
Yeah? They're outside the door, so we get out to the roof. They won't shoot at the kid, will they?
Now, wait a minute.
Come on, you. One phony move, this goes off, right? You're back. Up in the window, Ken.
Not me. I'm staying here.
Carlos.
I'm not going with you,
Ben. They won't shoot at the
kid. I'm not going with
you. Okay, the kid and me will go without you. Come on.
Look.
Never mind. Look. Do like I tell you. Go on. Get out.
They got the place surrounded. You haven't a chance.
Up the escape. Go on.
Ben, are you down? Yeah. Come on down from there, you know. Come down, my men have orders to shoot.
Okay, so let him shoot. You'll only hit the boy. Go on, kid, up the stairs.
No.
Go up, you hear me? Go up or I'll shoot. Go up, you hear me?
Mike, Bruce.
Okay, kid, you asked for it. You asked for it? Get those lights off me. Get them off me and you get it too.
There he goes,
kid. Get them off me and you get it too. Get those lights off me, I'm warning you.
With the recovery of young Ben Udell from the gunshot wound inflicted by his father, the United States attorney presented the whole story of tax evasion and coercion to a federal grand jury. Benny Udell, Ramon Carlos, Miguel Trella, and a score of others were indicted on various counts, brought to trial, and convicted. Mrs. Udell, though guilty of concealing a crime, was given a suspended sentence in view of both the circumstances and her son's action in helping to dissolve the smoke ring.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.